was not a letdown. That was some epic music. Now y'all expect an epic Christmas sermon. Hey, I love preaching at Christmas time because there's so much amazing stuff going on. And I was thinking about these three guys, the wise men. If I were a wise man, I would travel far. Man, wise men. Do we have any wise guys in the house? Oh, several hands. I see that. How many of you guys have a nativity scene with the little baby Jesus and shepherds and some sheep, and you got these three wise men kind of hanging around the manger a little bit? Yeah, they're all ornate and handsome looking. Pretty solid. Well, we're going to talk just a few minutes this morning, because I'm sure you've talked some Jesus stuff. Didn't really need that at home. And I'm just going to kneel. Shh, Tom, I'm kneeling in prayer right now, Tom. That's all I'm doing. You interrupt. Okay, that was not what I have. That's how you follow. Must be Christmas. You should see how many batteries we're losing at our house, right? So I thought maybe it was Christmas so I could get away with some fun. So here's what we're going to do. To really get in touch with the wise men and this journey that they took all the way, I'm going to probably need Petra to help me. Hey, Petra, can you come help me a second? Thanks. Make it up here. All right. So here's what we're going to do. We got a situation. I should have waited to get my batteries, huh? That looked a little more like I planned it. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to show everybody a camel race between the three wise men, and I need you to help pick which one you think is going to win, which color. Are you ready? And everybody else can pick too, and I can only get away with this, Jamie, because it's Christmas. So do you think red or blue or green? Let's turn that volume up, Debbie, if we can.
Pink.
All right, my money's on pink. Let's see. All right, grab your camel. Here we go. Oh, man. Which one do you think? There goes a red one. I don't know. Which one? Pink. Super close. There goes a pink one. I had no idea it was this long, I'm not gonna lie.
Sounds like it's just gonna be Andy.
It's not. Oh, the blue one. Hey, nice job. Merry Christmas. Can you guys give a big round of applause to Petra for her big help? Thank you, Petra. All right, we only did that because I wanted to have a little applause during the sermon time, and it's hard to get around here, you know what I'm saying? Hey, special shout out to my buddy Gary who sent me this. What did the third wise man say right before he gave his gift? You know, the other two each gave gold and frankincense, right? Third wise man said, but wait, there's myrrh. No, I know. I groaned too, but you know, when else are you going to use a myrrh joke besides when you're talking about the three wise men? Now, we know there were three wise men, or maybe even kings, because we sing every year, we three kings, and we know they're from the Orient, of Orient are, right? So obviously, if we sing about it, it's totally legit, right? Problem is if you actually read the Bible in Matthew chapter 2, you're going to learn a couple of things. One, it doesn't say how many magi, wise men, possibly kings, came, but there were three in the song we sing, and there were three gifts, and it'd be really crowded if we put all those camels that probably were part of their entourage in your little nativity set, right? But imagine three noblemen, or perhaps scholars or scribes from the east, traveling through desert terrain with great riches, just three dudes on a random camel through bandit territory. I mean, listen, we've watched Westerns. We know what happens to one stagecoach, right? So there's no way they probably just traveled the three of them. But it fits nice in our song. I get it. But so there was probably multiple wise men, or at least an entourage accompanying these three potential head guys. It's very possible. And we do imagine they came to the baby Jesus at the manger and they gave these gifts. You know, we all see the picture of infant baby Jesus with like some gold piled on him and then some more stuff piled on him. But that's probably not accurate because in Matthew it says that the wise men came following the star and it stopped at the house. So we're now at a house and maybe there's a manger inside the house and they kept it as decor, but probably it was a house and not a barn or a stable. And it says that they gave gifts to the boy, Jesus. It doesn't use the word baby or infant, but boy. And probably most convincingly, we have this account where these wise men come from the east, they travel far, they go to Jerusalem, and they say, hey, we've seen this star, where's this king who's been born king of the Jews, this new baby, where is he at? We want to come and worship him. And Herod, who is currently king, and oddly enough, when you're currently king and you hear about a new king that's not your king or your kid, all of a sudden you can have some feelings. So Herod is pretty despondent over this, and he finds out this baby was to be born in Bethlehem and sends the wise men and their entourage off to Bethlehem. And we read later in the account that they sneak back a different way. They don't come back and tell Herod about where this baby's at. So Herod has all the babies killed, all the boys killed 2 years and under in the region of the vicinity of Bethlehem. So odds are pretty high that these wise men showed up at a house with a young baby Jesus, or a young toddler Jesus, not an infant Jesus, and gave him gifts. Now, I just want you to know, like, it's okay if you have a wise man kind of vibe going at your nativity scene. That's cool. One of the things we do at our house is we kind of set them a little ways away from the manger because they're, like, on their way, you know, but that's hard to do at Christmas time. And I don't think you're going to, like, totally destroy any kid's deep theological experience with God if you have the wise men at the manger. But sometimes it's important to just to recognize maybe God had a timeline for what he was doing. And we do know definitively that these magi from the east brought gifts to baby Jesus, right? We have this gift, and we know what that is?
Gold.
Gold, nicely done, nicely done. And then we have another gift called frankincense. Yeah, to be frank, that's exactly what it is. And then another gift. You're just guessing. Nope, that is just chocolate I had yesterday. No, I'm just kidding. That is rock candy. No, it's not. It's really myrrh. It is myrrh. Myrrh and gold are these resins. Yeah, or myrrh actually, gold's not a resin. Frankincense is a resin. Myrrh is an interesting resin. It comes from like a gum tree or something like that. Like, I don't know. I don't chew on gum trees. But evidently pretty spectacular stuff. And these three gifts, they really... Well, they tell the gospel story. They really point to who Jesus is. Sometimes we just sing songs about gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We hear the little phrase, and we think that's cute, and we want to give gifts to people because wise men gave gifts to Jesus, and those are all great things. But each of these gifts is really significant in what it says about who this baby is. They're not just random gifts. They're very intentional gifts. And they speak loudly to who Jesus is, who he was then, who he will be for all time. Let's take a look. Gold, right? Gold. How many of you guys opened a present this morning and got a big chest of gold from somebody? Anybody? Because I want to come to your house and talk about giving for a little bit. Oh, no, that's not that. Oh, did you, Jackie? Good, I'll be there. Thank you.
Giving him a raise, right?
Yeah. Dax just got... That was probably chocolate wrapped in gold foil, but you know, whatever works there, Dex. So gold is kind of expensive, right? It's kind of a big deal. Did anybody get any kids get a toy today at Christmas? You may get a toy? Was it made out of gold? Was it made out of gold? No? Yes, okay. That'll work. I like it. Hey, you know what? You probably got some cool stuff I want to hear about it later, man, for sure. Seriously? I just got like socks and some underwear or something. I don't know, man. That's no fun being old. You know, Eli, the problem is you and me, we want to have this talk right now, but some of the other adults want to listen, and I get it, but I love kids, man. They're awesome. Jesus loved kids, too. So if you don't like kids, don't hang around here very much. But gold is a big deal. Who usually has a lot of gold? Rich people, yeah. Yeah. If your 401k is tanking, you might have a whole bunch of gold. I don't know, right? But gold is not something a commoner has, or an ordinary person just has a bunch of gold. And a huge chest or treasure of gold delivered to somebody, well, that was a gift fit for somebody special, really fit for a king. And what gold says to us loud and clear from the wise men is that this baby Jesus isn't just a peasant, isn't just a random dude, but he is our king. And it's symbolic of what an earthly king's gift might be. If you went to see a king, you wouldn't bring him plastic. You wouldn't bring him a wooden carving, maybe. You would give him something of incredible value. And these wise men came, and they gave the most precious thing we have, gold, and they gave it to this child, symbolic of the fact that he is a king. But maybe what they didn't know in its entirety then was that he would be the King of Kings for all time and for all eternity. But this gift of gold speaks loudly that Jesus is the King, and he is our King eternal. And that means he reigns, and he rules, and he has dominion and authority and power over sin and over death and over us. Pretty cool stuff from one little gift that wasn't really that little, probably, if you took a whole camel to carry it, right? Jesus is king. Frankincense is kind of interesting stuff. My wife is sort of a big, I call her the voodoo church lady because she's got oils, you know what I mean? And she's got all kinds of weird oils. Like this week I had the sniffles and she's like, put some frankincense on your feet. And I was just like, all right, okay. And then if you go on the website and you find the Super Bowl page, oh man, I don't want to break too much early news here. But if you find a Super Bowl commercial page, you might see a Brussels sprout commercial that's worth watching. I'm just saying. But Jamie loves oils. Does anybody have frankincense oil? Anybody here? Bunch of weirdos. All right, that's cool. So frankincense is definitely an oil that can be used for very important things. And Jamie calls it baby Jesus oil. You know what I mean? You get a scratch and your arm gets cut off. She's like, put some baby Jesus oil on that, whatever that was. But it's a very valuable oil. But also in this word, let's say we drop the first name, Frank. We have the word incense, right? And frankincense was often used as an incense that would burn and be fragrant. And you know, there's another place in Scripture we hear about incense burning. It's called the altar of incense that burns before the Lord in heaven. And it was symbolic in the tabernacle and in the temple, this incense that burns before the Lord. And you know who was in charge of burning the incense? Well, someone called a priest. And the book of Hebrews tells us that we now have one high priest, one mediator between God and mankind, Christ Jesus. Jesus is our priest. He is the one who stands between us and God, who makes intercession, and he is the one who stands there to say, hey, this guy's mine, this gal's mine. They're covered in my blood. They're covered with the atonement and the sacrifice that I made. And now it is no longer multiple high priests who burn lots of stuff and slaughter lots of lambs. It is literally one priest, Jesus, who stands between God and man and makes a way for us. Jesus is our priest. And the gift of frankincense, quite frankly, tells us Jesus is our priest. And myrrh. Myrrh. Myrrh is a very interesting gift. Very interesting gift. Because myrrh's real claim to fame, if you will, is that myrrh gets used in burial. That's a weird gift to give a baby. Here, baby Jesus, here's a tombstone and a casket that we made for you. right? Now, it probably wasn't intended to be used right then and there for burial, but myrrh is symbolic of burial. And this gift, right, of myrrh that the wise men brought, the magi, they gave this, and it's symbolic of the fact that this baby didn't just come to live and set up an earthly kingdom and dominate and be amazing, but he came on a mission and on purpose to rescue and save, but ultimately to give his life as a ransom for all mankind. And this simple gift of myrrh symbolizes that Jesus is our sacrifice, our once and for all sacrifice for our sin. All of these gifts from the wise men, every single one, says something powerful. Our king, our priest, and our sacrifice, all wrapped up in swaddling clothes in this little manger. Jesus, the king. And we read on in the account in Matthew. After these guys give this gift, they're warned in a dream and they head off in a different way. And Herod's on his way, as I mentioned earlier, to come and wipe out the possibility of this king even being in existence, right? But Joseph is warned in a dream, right? And he gets up in the night and he takes the infant or young son, toddler perhaps, and Mary, and he heads off to the land of Egypt, a foreign land. And you know, it's interesting, but you know what he took with him? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And sometimes it's worth remembering at Christmas that our God knows what we need and that he promises that he will supply and meet all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. These gifts were symbolic, super symbolic of this eternal mission and the eternal significance of Jesus Christ. But you know what else they did? They paid some bills. It's expensive to go to another country and start from scratch, isn't it? It's hard to go somewhere where you don't know anybody, you don't own anything, and you have nothing. But Mary and Joseph were supplied by their Heavenly Father. God brought the provision they needed through these wise men so that they could go to a foreign place, so that they could live and survive. And these gifts didn't just have an eternal purpose. They had a real temporary physical purpose. And sometimes we can kind of allocate God into this, he's my Heavenly Father and spiritual realmish stuff, and we leave the day-to-day and the circumstances of our life off to the side. And I just want you to remember this Christmas morning that Jesus came and he died, he sacrificed, and he made a way for us. But he also knows what you're walking through right now today. And the Bible says that if a sparrow falls to the ground, he sees and he notices. I drove with Jamie the other day in the winter windstorm mess as she hyperventilated about three birds getting blown around and why won't they go to their nest and what can we do? And so I drove faster, right? Because I was not as concerned about those three birds. But my Heavenly Father noticed them and he knows what they need and he is mindful. And in the same way, the three or more dudes from the east showed up and met the needs of Jesus and his family, God will meet your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus as we faithfully try to follow him and walk in obedience to him. He is our king. He is our priest. He is our sacrifice. And no matter where you journey and no matter where you go, no matter what you endure, those provisions, maybe not the same in your life as what Mary and Joseph experienced, but he has ways. He has his own Amazon delivery system to show up, maybe not with camels, but to help and to take care of his children that he loves. And he loves you. And this Christmas, I want you to know that you are precious and you are loved and you matter. And what you walk through matters to your Heavenly Father. He loves you. Trust, lean into him, and experience the good things that he has in store on this Christmas. Lord, thank you for a time to celebrate you, to worship and to sing and to take communion, to laugh, to smile, and to reflect just a little bit on who you are. Thank you for these gifts the wise men brought that remind us that you're our king and our priest and our sacrifice. And Lord, I pray that if we're here this morning, we don't know that in our life. We haven't experienced forgiveness for our sin and cleansing and all the things that you want to give to us as an amazing eternal gift. I pray in the quietness of the moment, you just allow us to reach out to you and that you this Christmas would become real in our hearts in a way you've never been before and transform this coming year and all of our eternity through your power. And Lord, for those of us who walk with you and know you, pray our hearts would be warmed, reminded that you are the giver of all good things, that you meet our needs and you care about us, and that you've taken care of our eternity, and you're mindful of our temporary, and help us keep our eyes fixed on you this Christmas season. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for the privilege of gathering as your people on this Christmas day. In Jesus' name. Amen.